Today on Older and Wiser.
You may think you're frugal, but there are some things Americans just won't scrimp on. We'll tell you what they are.
Do you have a pet name for your car? If so, you're not alone. We've got the car names people like the most.
Also, do you check online reviews when picking a doctor? And would you ever take a road trip all by yourself?
We'll answer those questions and more today on Older and Wiser. Hey, folks, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora up there in the Northern California neighborhood of, can we say where you live?
Sure.
Fairfax, a beautiful community.
No, I'm not in Fairfax anymore.
Oh, you're not? Oh.
No, I'm now in Sonoma County.
Sonoma County. What,
yes.
Up there where they make the grapes.
Yeah, well, close. Close enough to drink the wine.
As always, Susan and I are rummaging through public opinion surveys. And let's get started. Here's our first headline from the New York Post. It says, inside the strange shopping habits of the average consumer. And the idea here is that there are some things you just won't scrimp on. I know, Susan, I know you are a budget-conscious individual, for sure.
I've become very frugal in the last few years. I've had to, and actually it simplifies things, to be honest with you.
What, though, would you simply not scrimp on?
Toothpaste.
Yeah. No, you mean you wouldn't buy the 99-cent store brand of toothpaste?
That's correct, because I want to be sure that what I'm buying... Well, sometimes you don't know if all the guidelines are as strict if it comes from maybe another country. Also, I was told by my dentist to use the toothpaste that the Sensodyne, for sensitivity.
Yes.
And also, I was told to get on a mouthwash that was a little more expensive, but I used it every day. And my checkups have reflected the improvement.
Okay. Well, honestly, toothpaste doesn't cost very much, so it's kind of easy not to scrimp on that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's the key here, is that people, even though they're trying to save money, they tend to save it on the big things and then allow themselves luxuries for the small things, possibly.
Yeah, okay.
According to this new study of 2,000 Americans, there are some things they'll scrimp on and some things they don't. And at the top of the list of things they will not scrimp on, coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with them there.
Yeah, I've got to have my beans, but I still feel that it's economical in the long run because I grind them all in the same machine. I got one machine to grind it and make it fresh. That's what I like to do.
But there's no joy in a cup of coffee from the 7-Eleven or McDonald's. Honestly, I think McDonald's coffee is pretty bad. And why even waste your money? I will go stand in the line at Starbucks to get the good coffee, even though it costs another dollar more.
Uh-huh. I go to Sprouts and get beans, and if I want to try, but they're all sort of one flat price, and sometimes they're on sale. And even on sale, they're like $7.99 a pound, which some people might consider pricey. But I don't need 5 pounds of coffee. You know,
you could buy the store brand, you know, at your local Safeway. But do you feel like that coffee's not as good as the little more expensive stuff at the Sprouts?
To tell you the truth, I don't shop there that often. I find the store very large, and it's one of these supermarkets out here. It's really good if you need something, but if it's crowded before a holiday, or if you are on one side of the store and you get to the other, and then you realize you forgot something on the first side, it's like, oh my gosh, I got to go all the way back there. I mean, there is a certain laziness in me. I will tell you what I have discovered, and that's the dollar store, and I go there for certain things. And
so you do scrimp.
You can get decent toilet paper at the dollar store, even though there's people who disagree with me. There, you can
also on our list of things Americans refuse to scrimp on.
I don't buy things that I would eat there.
Okay,
or ingest.
When you shop at the dollar store, you're not getting Charmin toilet paper, right?
You know, there's a. I'm trying to remember what
an off-brand.
It's kind of an off-brand from a store that closed, but it's a decent
scrimping, Susan. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do scrimp on toilet paper.
Well, I scrimp on where I get it.
Yeah, you don't. Well, no. You're trying to save money on toilet paper because you don't see it as that important.
Well, it is important. Twice as important for women as men, I might remind you. But it's, you know, if I couldn't get something that was decent, then I would go get a better brand on sale and stock up.
Yeah.
I think that, someplace else.
Yeah, that's okay. That sort of makes some sense.
There's a brand that I like, and there's another brand that, if it's a really thin brand, or, you know, you go through real quick, forget it.
But I think the point of this survey is that there are some items that people will pay full price at their regular store to get the top quality brand, like, you know, like Charmin toilet paper, Starbucks coffee, Crest white strips toothpaste, because these items, they've come to believe you can't buy the off-brand. It just isn't worth it.
I buy, let me say this, I have been a devotee of generics for a long time. Yeah. And if you read the ingredients on, if you take the time when you're shopping, and a lot of people don't, they just want to go in, grab something and go. But if you read the ingredients on, I don't know, let's say butter, you know, if you get your butter at, if you get like Trader Joe's, I go to Trader Joe's all the time. I've said it a million times, send it to music, I'll dance to it. And the truth is, a lot of their brands and what they have are fine. I read the ingredients on everything. And if they're simple ingredients at Trader Joe's and it says butter and salt or butter and no salt, whatever, and it's the same as something that's more expensive, but it's got a brand name, I'll go with the generic. I do it a lot, and I don't see a difference.
So in a way, you're one of those folks who are not in our our survey results. You are really someone who scrimps and checks prices and is careful about literally every item that you buy. Not
I'll tell you what
certain
I
things.
I'll tell you what I will not scrimp on usually, and I don't spend a ton of money. So I look for buys, and I don't need a ton of shoes.
Really?
I find that I bought a cheap pair of really cute shoes. I won't say the store, but they were cute. And I tended to wear them more often. I got compliments on them all the time. Everybody said, oh, those are cute. Where'd you get them? Oh, those are cute. Where'd you get them? That's all I heard for one summer. And then I wore them another summer. And I don't think they did my feet or my back any favors. Let's put it that way.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying you can cure back problems with a good shoe, but you can at least support your back better with a better shoe. So I won't scrimp on shoes. Jeans, I think people spend too much money on pricey jeans with labels. Frankly, I think you can get something as good if you look around, either on a sale or even a store brand sometimes, depending on, you know, if you take the time to make sure you wear the right size.
Well, I will say that is one of the things that, and I don't say I don't scrimp. I try to get Levi jeans on sale. I prefer Levi to the other brands for some reason.
Okay.
And they're, you seldom see them on sale. I've had to pay full price for a pair of jeans, and that's $60, which I think is horrible for a pair of jeans, frankly.
It's a lot. And you know what? It's actually, you and I think it's a lot. It's really not a lot in terms of what's out there, what people are looking for, you know. People are spending a lot more. I just don't think, unless there's something fabulous about these jeans and they last forever, no, I don't think so. Makeup is a downfall for me.
You got to
I want to get what I want.
At the 99 cent store, please, right?
No, I don't. Okay. No. Absolutely not. I don't. I spend too much on lipstick. I watch for, you know, values on QVC. There's certain brands that I like, and there's other things. If I don't like something, I'll take it back. That's another thing that takes a little time. Paper, if you go back to the dollar store, you can, there's two things you can generally get there. You can get like paper towels, and you can get Kleenex, because I usually have a box for the car and a box at home. And you can also do cleaning products. I wouldn't buy necessarily soap for my face there, but hand soap is okay.
You buy stuff for the floor, kitchen floor.
Dishwashing detergent is okay. I would get dishwasher pellets elsewhere on sale, but because I don't want to wreck the dishwasher on something that might be an off product. And, you know, I have to say I've had luck buying.
So there are things that you won't scrimp on: makeup, shoes, dishwasher pods, because you realize that you don't, the cheap ones could screw up the dishes. And we all have a list, I guess, of things that we wouldn't scrimp on. One of the things in this survey, though, they talk about some of the items that just are generally considered to be overpriced. Like, come on, these things are way too expensive. The top of the list, concert tickets.
Yeah, I really, well, you know what? I used to try to go like one concert a summer way back when, but, you know, after a while, how many times can you listen to the Beach Boys? Well, I probably could listen to them all the time, but.
You can only listen to them for a while because they're all nearly dead. That's the biggest problem with the Beach Boys concert.
Well, I don't think that's true, but that's another conversation for another time. But concert tickets, this is an outing. I don't do outings as much anymore. I just find that first.
I'm sure you did realize last time you tried to buy a ticket for the Beach Boys, it was probably $128.
Oh, it was probably longer ago than that, so it was probably less than that. Okay. But
how about movie theater snacks?
You know, I hate to tell you. You know what I do.
You bring your own bag, right?
Yes, yes, yes. It's in there. You know, I don't bring like crunchy potato chips or something to make make noise. But I don't think they care anymore. I don't think they care.
It used to be that you'd feel like you had to sneak in your snacks. Yeah. You know what? These days, I just don't think they care whether you bring your own food or you don't. To be honest,
last thing I gave up in the movie theaters. Buying was popcorn, only because it was always nice to get it nice and, yeah, you know, fresh and warm, and, you know, especially if I knew they had just popped it. If it looked like it was sitting there for a while, I could pass it up.
You can't do better than movie popcorn for popcorn, right? I mean, there's something about sitting in the seats with that warm bucket, and it's fantastic. Same thing with a hot dog in the movie theater.
It's probably not a special hot dog,
but to me, the hot dog in a movie theater is the best hot dog ever because I'm sitting in a movie seat sort of trying to balance it on my knee, and it just tastes so delicious. I'll tell you the other thing, too.
If you have, and let's face it, most people who are older are either on a budget or they're about to be on a budget or they're going to be on a budget at some point because you just don't have the money-making power when you're older. You're not going to go out looking for a job all the time, and also, at the cost of living, unless that gets under control, the prices go up and the income does not. It stagnates. And so at some point, everyone's going to have to look for what they will trim that they can live with. You can actually trim a lot and you can actually live with it just fine. You start to realize, well, I'm not going to go out to dinner tonight, but the good news is I don't have to get dressed. I don't have to go taking it in the car, park, drive, go there, watch what I drink because I have to drive home. It's just as easy to get something to go, take out maybe. Now, take out might be more of a lot of people who cook say, oh, you should cook things from scratch because it's cheaper. Actually, for me, it's not.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when the last time you priced a piece of steak in the grocery store, but it's more expensive than buying it in the restaurant. I don't understand why.
I'm not a red meat eater, and I don't cook, so I don't know. I don't even know what a steak would be, but I would think if I was going to have steak, that's something, or a hamburger. I rarely don't eat red meat, but once in a year maybe or so, I like a good hamburger. I'm not going to go have that at some fast food, you know, stand online. I'm going to have it someplace where they make a really good hamburger. That's my one. That's my splurge. And it's fine. I enjoyed it.
Before we let go of this survey, the survey also pinpointed exactly when certain items become officially expensive. I thought this was kind of interesting, and I don't agree with them at all. A steak dinner becomes expensive at $34.
I can't speak to that. That's okay.
It's hard to do better than $34 for a steak dinner. A bottle of wine at $31.
I've never spent $31 on a bottle of wine in my life, or even close, frankly.
Well, not in the grocery store, really, so much. I guess in a restaurant, they just hike the prices up so high, you may end up with a very moderate bottle of wine, and they'll tell you it's $31. But
yeah, but you're also paying for the atmosphere and the service and all of that.
Nice shoes, $58.
I would pay $58 for, and they wouldn't have, at this point, not cute shoes that I'm going to wear to a Christmas party and then not wear all year long, and then next thing you know, when I look at them, they'll be out of style.
Something you wear all the time.
Something
right?
That's decent, that supports my foot, that's comfortable to be in, that I could go out if I work for the day, then I could do it there, you know.
And pizza at $20. You know, pizza, surprisingly expensive. I've always been amazed at how expensive bread and cheese can be, but whatever.
If I went back to my home state, in my hometown, in New Jersey, I wouldn't care what a pizza costs because, A, I'm there. B, it is the best. Long Branch, New Jersey pizza, I think, is some of the best pizza. And it wouldn't bother me that it was $20, you know. And I'm not going to eat a whole pizza by myself, by the way. So,
moving on. Moving on. Here's our next story. This one comes from the Daily Star Journal. .com. The headline is Name That Car, Half of Americans Do. I remember growing up, my dad would always name the family car. And for some reason, it often had the same name. And that name was Bessie.
And
for Bessie. Bessie. And for some reason, it worked great in the cold winters of Indiana because you'd try to start a car in those days, and it would go.
Yes.
And my dad would say, "Come on, Bessie, come on, Bessie." So, what I didn't realize until this survey was that this business of naming cars, it's pretty common. According to this survey, more than 55% of Americans have named their cars, according to a Bosch Automotive survey of U.S. car owners. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it's amazing to me because I've never named a car in my life.
What would you name your car if you did decide to name your car?
Please hold on and work a long time. No, I really, to me, naming a car, it doesn't. I get why people do it. I'm not even sure I get why people do it. I take that back. I guess it's just it personalizes it or whatever. Now, I did have when I got my car and it was new, I did ask the priest after Mass one day when we were out there. I said, "Could you bless my car?" And he said, "Sure." So maybe that's.
Did he say, "What's her name?"
No, he did not.
Can you bless a non- Oh, you inanimate can, object that
you can bless anything you want, especially if it's attached to a check. Mine wasn't at that point, but I'd already given it to the collection before. But no, I don't name my car. But let me ask you this: there was a very famous car that was named in a television show back in the 50s. Most boomers should remember this.
My Mother, the Car.
Not that one.
And the woman who played the car was Ann Southern.
Okay, I do remember. I remember that. I didn't watch the show, but that's not the car I'm talking about. I think it was before that.
Okay, what kind of a car was it? Maybe that'll ring a bell.
I think it was a Jeep.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Clues. More clues required.
Okay.
Required.
The show was on. It was very popular. And it was, do you want me to tell you the show or give you the name of the car?
Show. Maybe that'll help.
Okay. It was Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
And they named their car. Interesting.
No, they didn't name their car. Their sidekick or their buddy, Pat Brady.
Yeah.
Had a car and it was named Nellie Bell.
See, now that is a classic car name. It
that's
is
right.
Nellie Bell.
Yeah. That's it.
Classic.
And I think I'm 100% right on all of that. If somebody hears it and says I'm wrong, they can tell me. But Nellie Bell was the car. Yes. Yes.
73% of all cars names are female. People like to give their names their cars female names. The top 3 names are Betsy, Betty, and Bessie. Gen Xers like to name their cars Britney. Baby boomers tend to name their cars things like Old Blue, Old Red, Old Yeller, Old Reliable. Because we're old.
Yeah.
We're old. My daughter named her car Mallory. Named her car Mallory. And she named it the day she bought it, which I think is interesting. She didn't have to get to know it to kind of name it. She just, boom, I'm going to call her Mallory.
I think to me, if people want to do this and they have fun doing it, it's fine. To me, I'd rather name a pet. Go adopt a shelter pet and name that.
Okay, let's move on to our next topic. This one comes from mobilehealthnews.com. 95% of Americans find online doctor reviews reliable. Now, I think I think this is a change for the better that we currently have ways to look up reviews of doctors online. With our, it used to be in the old days, you'd get one doctor, he was your doctor, you liked him or you didn't like him, but you kept going to him forever. With the way health insurance works, sometimes you've got to move doctors so that you're in network and all that. I have found these online doctor reviews to be enormously helpful because they're honest. I think they're honest. They're from the people who have gone to him or her.
You hope.
Well, you hope. And, like, I love Yelp for that. You can literally look up your doctor mm-hmm. on Yelp and get a list of people who've gone and listen to all their complaints.
The other thing, I think a lot of cities and or even counties will have doctors. So, in other words, there's kind of a regional division, and you can look there. Because, you know, you might find a fantastic doctor, but if he or she is 50 miles away, it's not as helpful. I have to tell you that for doctors, when I was looking for a doctor for my mother when she moved out here, I asked a friend of mine who actually happened to be an administrator in a hospital, so that was an easy do. But I think in most cases I would usually ask somebody kind of like-minded, so maybe another woman. I might say to her, you know, who do you use for family doctor? If I were going to change, I would probably ask somebody that maybe had the same kind of creature needs that I do.
Again, that's
what I would
wonderful.
Do. I would go on it. Yeah. And also, by the way,
you've got a network like that, Susan, that you someone's got to send you to a orthopedic surgeon, and you've got five friends who've gone to orthopedic surgeons, and you can call them all up and ask them. But I don't have that. I don't think a lot of people do.
Well, and you need to get out more.
I know. I need to hang out with more sick people.
Yeah, right.
People who have more ailments.
Ailments, yeah. Well, that's not hard to find these days. But
that's
no,
true.
Truly. And the other thing, too, is if you do find a doctor you like and you have an issue, let's say you have an orthopedic issue and you're going to a general practitioner, that doctor often will have somebody that he or she can refer you to. So if your family doctor says you need to go to an orthopedic, then, I would recommend these guys or these women or whomever.
Yeah. Good alternative ideas. But as far as our survey today is, we're focused on the fact that 97% of millennials found online ratings and reviews to be somewhat reliable. 41% say they still check a doctor out online. 29% went to Google. 18% started at WebMD. That's a good website, by the way. Good WebMD.
Yes, I've used that.
Yeah, and 15% headed for a thing called Health Grades. Haven't tried Health.
Haven't tried that. No, I've tried WebMD. And generally what I would do is if a friend said, go to Dr. X, she's really good, then I would probably go online and see what kind of reviews. So I would go the other way around. I would start with the personal reference if I can, or recommendation, or a doctor's recommendation, and then look online and see. And I would look to see what the complaints are. You know,
right.
Look for the low to high rating.
You're absolutely right. That's one of the things you kind of have to be careful about with these online services, because people will give it a low rating because they had to wait 20 minutes in the lobby.
Right, right. That's the problem.
Or the fact that someone asked them twice for their health card or something
mm-hmm.
like that. So it's, and then that can put the grade down low. But read carefully. Understand that some people are just downright cranky about everybody and love to criticize. And if you can kind of temper your judgment, and remember that not everybody is giving a fair estimation of the. I really just like want to hear. Tell me about the doctor. Did
right.
he listen to you? Did he rush you through? Did he seem to give you good advice? Did he prescribe the correct medication?
Did she require too many tests? Did she jump to test everything all the time? Was she concerned about what this is going to cost you if you asked? Did she resent it? All of those things. I mean, people know, as you get to our age, you know the kinds of things you want, the kind of qualities you want in a doctor. So,
absolutely.
Anyway.
Interesting idea.
Okay.
Interesting, though, that it's sort of a new trend. All right. Our final survey today comes to us from TravelPulse.com. And according to this survey, there's been a significant rise in people who like to travel on their own, take solo vacations. The study was conducted by YouGov and Agoda, whatever the heck Agoda is, I don't know. But according to that, 61% of respondents said that the desire to unwind was their number one motivator for taking a trip by themselves. Would you ever do that, Susan?
Depends. Depends on where I was going, how far. If I knew somebody where I was, you know, where my destination was, I would certainly get on a plane and fly somewhere alone. I've done it.
Yeah.
You know, to go see my family or what have you, because then the family is there. I don't know that I would get in a car and drive 200 miles alone somewhere in any direction. And, you know, because my car is old. If it breaks down, then I'm alone. Right. You know, that kind of thing. So I would think
about
that.
You do have to be a non-worrier to do this.
Also, I would say this. I would think that people would do this more often if the train system in this country was three times as good as it is.
That's
if there were, yeah,
you're right.
You know?
It's true. It's not a easy taking a train ride these days is rough. It can be rough and it's expensive too.
It's expensive.
It's more expensive than an airplane ride.
It is. Certainly as expensive. And you think it's going to be cheaper. It should be cheaper, but we don't have enough. That really needs some work, I think.
And don't you kind of admire the person who is fearless enough to hit the road on their own, unafraid that they're going to get lonely, unafraid that there could be some sort of a disaster that will befall them that they won't be able to handle without someone else? There's a fearlessness there that I'd love to be like that.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that's I sort of admire them. I also, though, I'd want to be sure that they were taking precautions. In other words, if they had a car that was checked out and doing very well and it was newer, fine, that's a plus. If they have an older car that's falling apart and they're going to go on the road and drive 200 miles, that's stupid. Or rent a car. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Sometimes getting there is the problem. Going alone necessarily wouldn't bother me, although I think once you get to the part where maybe you're going out to dinner at night alone, on the other hand, you can have your big meal at lunch and there's more people and you might meet them.
I don't love eating alone in a restaurant. I really have never really loved that. So I'd have to figure a way to get used to that. Mm-hmm. I also feel like people who are capable of traveling on their own quickly enough must get over this concern about it and realize they need to interact with other people. So when you go into, a store or something to look for souvenirs, you probably engage the person in the store and try to talk to them. The rest of us just want to talk to our families or our travel companions, ignoring the people in the store. But if you're alone, you want to talk to everyone you come across.
Well, let me tell you, my mother actually went on a trip by herself. A friend of mine who worked in the travel business, and she asked him. She was going to go to this family event in San Diego, of all places, and she lived in New Jersey. And he told her, my friend Bob, he said, I think you can do this, and here's how you can do it. And he walked her through the whole thing, and she had a good time. She rented a car. She drove a bit. I mean, she was pretty fearless about it, I have to say. She had a good trip. It all worked fine. She didn't drive there. She flew to San Diego, drove up the coast a little bit, not far. She didn't drive from, San Diego to San Francisco or anything. But she drove a little and then she flew home and she had a great time. And I think it made her a little more fearless about other things in her life. She then went on trips that, they were group trips, and she met a couple. And the three of them actually became really good friends. Turns out that, the couple lived in New Jersey and they were good friends for a long time. They lived near enough to her that they could all get together. And even after the husband died, she and her friend Ann, they used to go, they'd go hit the casinos in Atlantic City or whatever for an evening. And, they had a really, really good friendship. So so it all worked out for her in many ways.
And it was because she went by herself. Had she gone with someone else that she knew, she probably would have just stuck close with the friend that she knew and missed out on that that meeting of all the new people, I think.
Well, when you go on a group tour, you will meet people. So in one way, a lot of people go, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do when I get there. On the other hand, sometimes those group tours can be, okay, we're going to go here and there, and you wouldn't have known about the here and there unless you did a lot of research, which you can do now. It's not hard because of the internet. But you also meet people. So if you're on a bus going somewhere, which may not be our number one choice on how to get somewhere on a trip. On the other hand, while you're on your way there, besides looking out the window and taking pictures, you could be talking to someone and making a new friend.
Any place you would really love to travel at this point?
You know, I wouldn't mind a weekend in Carmel myself, or Big Sur. I've always liked Big Sur. That's not that far away.
Lovely.
But I wouldn't drive to Big Sur by myself.
That's a great idea. I love Big Sur too, and Carmel's a beautiful area. All of it.
But I will say this: going back to our conversation about a couple topics ago, earlier in this conversation, in this podcast, traveling is not cheap. And so it may be one of the things that you say, you know, if you love to travel, there are people who absolutely will give up anything, even, you know, new furniture or a new sweater or whatever, put it all aside so that they can travel.
That's true. That's
other
a priority,
people,
right?
I would rather have
on. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. I would rather have the creature comforts I need along the way, and I don't need to travel. I enjoy it when I do it, but it's not something that I sit here and go, oh, I wish I could take off and go here. If I were going to go anywhere, I would go probably to see friends, and they're not always in vacation destinations.
Ain't that the truth?
So.
Ain't that the truth? Okay, well, once again, we're out of time, and we got to wrap this up. So we're glad you joined us today for Older and Wiser. I'm Bob Bates.
And I'm Susan Sikora. For regular updates, make sure you subscribe. And for all the stuff that matters when you're 50-plus, visit olderandwiser.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.